We are up to the fifth parak. We are in Mishnah Tes Zayin in Perkei Avos. Kol Ahava Shehi Tluya B'davar. Anytime you have a situation in which there is love which is dependent on a specific matter, so Batal Davar, eventually when that thing goes away, that one thing that you selfishly love this person about, Batel Ahava. At that point, that Ahava goes away. You no longer have that love anymore. V'she'ena Tluya B'davar, however, in a situation where the love is not dependent on a specific thing, but rather it's on a mutual respect and a genuine care of wanting to give to one another, Einu Batel Olam, then such love will never go away. And some people explain it doesn't mean necessarily that you cannot also find specific things in which is Tluya B'davar, but the issue is when it's Kol Ahava, when the whole reason and the only reason that you love someone, Kol Ahava is Tluya B'davar. And as Mershim explains, this is also we find when it comes to the Yishus Yifas Toar. The beginning of Parshas Kiseitse, when a person is in the war, he finds this beautiful woman. So Rashi says that eventually you will hate her. So what does it mean? How do you know eventually she's going to hate her? Because the only reason why you cared about her in the beginning was because of her physical appearance. And as that withers and goes away, then you're not going to really care for her anymore. And the essence of Ahava is the root of Hav, which is the essence of giving. The person who has the attitude of a give-give relationship without the desire to give only on the condition to receive, then it's not Tluya B'davar and it will last forever. Ezehi Ahava Tluya B'davar. So what is considered to be an Ahava, which is Tluya B'davar, which is attached to a specific thing? So Zu Ahavas Amnoin B'samar. Amnon and Tamar, as is mentioned in Shmuel Beis, that Amnon had a physical desire to be with Tamar, and very interesting ruse that he created, that he was advised that he should act like he was sick. So then David went to visit him, who was the king, and he said, you know, I need someone to take care of me. So he said, okay, Tamar will take care of me. He pretended like he couldn't eat. Until he said, you know what, I need everyone away from this room until there's only one person. And then ultimately, when Amnon was with Tamar, the Pasuk says, V'yisaneha Amnon sinna gedola ma'od, that because of his mistake that he made in the sinfulness that it was, which was also due to his relationship to her, says that the hatred that he had for her was so great, it was even stronger than the love or desire that he had for her originally. So that's considered to be an Ahava Tluya B'davar. That's Amnon and Tamar. She'enu Tluya B'davar Zo Ahavas David V'Yoinasan. So it's interesting, we use the examples really in the same proximity to show that even people who are close to one another and live in the same generation, or part of the same family, it's not necessarily that one's going to get the message of what is the proper definition of Ahava. So when it came to David and Yonasan, they were the individuals who personified that which was an Ahava, which is not Tluya B'davar, because when it came to their love for one another, the Pasuk says that they loved each other very much. Yavehu Yonasan kinafsho, like himself. And what was unique about the relationship of David and Yonasan, that even though Yonasan, based on his relationship to his father, who was the king, Shaul, so you would think that he would be the successor to the throne, and not David, who was some outsider. So even though David and Yonasan would really, you would think of all people, would not love one another, would not have a relationship because of the fighting to see who would have this position of power, but nonetheless, they cared about one another, and therefore that's something in which will always last.